Well, hi again, everyone. I'm 1010 Win Sports Director Mark Renee. This is On the Mark, where we take a look at the stories behind the stories in the world of sports, and it is an absolute treat to be joined by the new afternoon co-host on our sister station, WFAN, right across the hall. We're joined by Craig Carton. And Craig, first of all, welcome back to the family. How are you?
That sounds great. First off, it's nice hearing that, and I'm doing very, very well. Thank you. And it's been 3 years since we've walked inside these walls where you guys are, where WFAN is, and it feels like home for me, and it's a blessing to be back.
Yeah, I have to ask now, what did it feel like when you came walking back into the building last Friday for that hour that you wound up doing?
It was weird. It was surreal first walking in, and then, you know, this building, like so many others in New York City, are not back to full capacity because of COVID, so it's a bit of a ghost town, but it was surreal. You know, I had so many great memories in this building, career-wise, personally, and they all kind of came rushing right back when I walked in. And it took me about 5 minutes to get comfortable again, and once I did, it was like I had never left.
Take me through the travel, if you will. You're walking down Hudson Street. You go in through the revolving. No, you can't even go in through the revolving door, right? They're still closed. So you walk in. You see the lobby security has the plexiglass up, and the temperature takers are there. And so you have to go through all this new stuff that you haven't seen before. To the elevator, up to the floor, through the doors, into the WFAN side of the floor, and into that particular studio. I'm just curious what was going through your mind, especially going into that studio.
Well, I mean, the first thing, just to back up the truck for a second, I didn't know how to use the elevator. So I was going to be stuck just on the ground floor for a while until I figured out you had to get out of the elevator and push the floor I wanted to go to then go up the elevator. So that took a couple minutes. And then, you know, I'd made that walk from the elevator into the building, you know, literally, I guess, thousands of times over the 10 years I did the morning show at WFAN. So it was just the only way I can put it is surreal. And then, you know, obviously walking into the studio, it wasn't the studio that I had worked out of for all those years. It was the Mike Francesa studio. So there was some irony to that. And once I sat down, there's a microphone in front of my fat face and an on button in front of my belly. I felt really, really comfortable. It was very serene. And it felt like that's where I belong. And I think that is where I belong. And that's, you know, where I'm most comfortable.
Craig, did it feel like a finish line or more like getting to the starting line?
That's a good question. I think the finish line is still a long way away for me personally and professionally. So it was the culmination of a dream come true for sure. And the hard work that I put into, you know, my penance and how I'm living my life now and intend to going forward, it was, I viewed it as a bit of a reward for hard work successfully completed with the recognition I've got a lot more work to do. But it was certainly nice to cross that line and come back, although for an hour, knowing that on Monday, November 9th, you know, we start doing it for real. So it did feel good. But I would say it was more of a starting line of the next part of this journey for me, which is, you know, being back on the radio, but also being very sensitive to the fact that I still really need to work hard to re-earn the trust of my coworkers, advertisers, listeners, and remain steadfast and focused on doing all the things that are expected of me to make sure that I do that successfully.
And the new show with Evan Roberts, Carton and Roberts, as you said, starts on Monday the 9th, 2 to 7 p.m. And, of course, it's on WFAN, 66 a.m., 101.9 FM, radio.com. And I'm just curious, what's the plan for how the show will be structured, because folks are so used to the show you did with Boomer, the morning show, and a morning show and an afternoon show are understandably different, but I'm just curious to know how you and Evan have worked out exactly what you plan this show to be.
Yeah, I view it as pretty similar, actually. You know, the time of day is different, of course, So people might be going home from work as opposed to going to work, or in the middle of their work day, going from one job to another job, what have you. But the sensibility of doing a show to me doesn't change because the day part changes. It's going to be a high energy, fun, entertaining and compelling show. Obviously, we'll handle all the New York sports stuff that comes our way. And beyond that, we'll share our lives and the things that make us tick and all the other stories out there that, you know, I think the audience, any radio audience, would have an interest in hearing about. So I really view it as very similar. You know, I made the joke that, you know, Evan is merely a thinner, younger, less athletic version of Boomer. And you know, that's how I'm going to treat it. You know, Evan brings amazing talent to the table, you know, a 15-year radio career, credibility amongst New York sports fans already. And we're going to certainly tap into that and take advantage of that and hope that in addition to that, the audience will also meet an Evan they may not have met before. You know, what makes him tick? What are his interests outside of sports? What makes him laugh? What makes him happy and angry? And that's my job to make sure we bring that out.
I know you were joking with him on the air last week when you did the hour and then he joined you toward the end of that. You were talking about this other Evan Roberts that folks don't know. How much of that have you gotten to know over the last few days?
Too much. It's listen, nobody is one-dimensional the way people have tried to paint Evan as oh, he's a sports geek. And I just don't buy that. And we've had many, many conversations now in the last couple of weeks, more so than we've had in a lifetime. And there's so much more to Evan than just being, you know, a Mets fan or a Nets fan. And I'm excited to watch that part of his personality blossom and for the audience to get to know him for all those other little quirky things that, you know, they've never heard him talk about before. And I really think it's going to be great. If it wasn't going to be great, I wouldn't tell you. But I think it's going to be great. I think Evan's going to be a fantastic partner. And I think the people that don't want to believe that he's got anything to him other than sports will be very quickly disavowed of that belief.
I have to ask because it's been a very prominent part of sports radio, especially mm-hmm. over these last few years. That's the gambling aspect. And obviously sure. The sponsorships that we're going to have, that you're going to have, obviously afternoon shows especially, but even on the morning show you guys did, you know, your Friday football picks. And other predictions and such, and handling point spreads and stuff. And as a recovering gambling addict, I is mm-hmm. a compulsive gambler, I guess, is the proper terminology?
That's correct. Compulsive gambling, that's, you know, my addiction.
So how do you handle it?
Well, listen, we're not going to hide from it. You know, I'm not going to be hypocritical about it either. I have a problem when it comes to gambling. I can't gamble responsibly, and I take ownership of that problem. And because of that addiction, I put myself in harm's way and made terrible decisions that led to my going to prison. We're not going to hide from it. We're going to be open and honest about it. Evan, to the extent that he wants to and will acknowledge point spreads and make picks and have endorsements with companies that, you know, effectuate that. I won't. I will make it very clear from day one that, you know, for people that don't know already, that I have a problem and I won't be participating in any type of talks or promotions that involve the promotion of wagering, other than to say that you have to wager responsibly because there is the potential to go down a really dark and ugly rabbit hole that can change your life for the worse and those that love you the most. So we'll deal with it. I recognize that gambling advertising is a huge part of the landscape I'm returning to. And I'm really fortunate that the executives at Entercom and WFAN specifically have afforded me the opportunity to use the platform they're giving me in Afternoon Drive at WFAN with, you know, carte blanche to the extent that I feel that I want to talk about my problem and I want to talk about responsibility when it comes to that problem. I have free reign to do that as often as I'd like. And I will take advantage of that platform to do it. We'll also come up with some specialty programming that we'll announce, I'm sure, in the next month or so, specifically around responsible gambling. You know, and we'll tackle it head on, but out in the open. So everyone will know where I stand on it. They recognize I have a problem and I'm getting help for that problem. And I think just being honest about it will take care of the bulk of what we're doing.
Now, I think you and Boomer, maybe more than any show before you over that 10-year run, made a habit of incorporating your supporting cast and breaking through that other side of the glass, so to speak. You had Jerry doing the updates, Jerry Recco, who was, you know, essentially the third man in the ring, but you also used Al Dukes, your producer, Eddie Scazzeri, your board op, and all the other guys behind the scenes. How do you plan on handling that as far as the afternoon show goes now? And I guess I should ask, is there any breaking news on who that supporting staff might be?
No breaking news on that as at the moment. But yes, I've always had the policy that the door to the studio does not have a lock on it. The microphones in the producer's room do not have locks on them. So to the extent that people have something to say and want to say it, we welcome it. And I think the people that will ultimately be involved with the show will, you know, be a part of the show in a very similar manner to the way, you know, Eddie was and Al and Jerry, and I think we'll try to build the same kind of, you know, community that we did over the 10 years of mourning. So you'll hear other voices for sure, and I'm sure we'll be making fun of them quite a bit, and they'll be a part of what we do. You know, success here, it's not the Craig Carton show. You know, the ultimate success of our show is going to be based on Evan and I as co-hosts, 50-50 co-hosts, and then the other guys that we bring in to support the show. And collectively, we'll be successful. But, you know, this is not, you know, the one-man show by a long shot.
Hey, Craig, if we can back up just a little bit to your time away. I'm curious because it was in a situation, you know, you were gone at the very beginning of this whole COVID pandemic. And I'm wondering, especially from a family standpoint, with a wife at home and four children, how were you able to handle the early stages as everything was developing going back to February and into March?
Well, I mean, like most people, I worried a lot. You know, COVID was just out of my control. It was out of most people's control. It made it worse, of course, that I couldn't physically be there just for the support that, you know, anyone needs, all my loved ones. And it was kind of a helpless feeling, you know, to read about it or have conversations with, you know, people I love about what was going on and not being able to help or make things better. You know, I've always thought as a father and husband, you know, one of our jobs is to make things better when things go awry for our families. And, you know, I wasn't able to do that. So there's a certain level of helplessness that was associated with that. You know, knock on wood, you know, my family was blessed that, you know, they got through the height of COVID in the spring well. And remain healthy today. So hopefully that'll continue.
How important was it when you sat down on Friday and cracked that microphone open for the first time in over 3 years that you made it a point to thank your wife for standing by you and making a public proclamation on her behalf?
Well, I mean, she deserved to hear it. She's the rock that kept my family together, to her credit. You know, I threw a grenade into the Carton family and, you know, changed the direction of a lot of people's lives for the worse. And the fact that now 3 years later, my family's doing well. My kids are prospering in college and, you know, two that aren't in college yet are doing great academically, emotionally. They're in really good places. And that's not because of me. That's because of her. She's a terrific, terrific mom and partner and friend and wife. And I would not be here talking to you today if not for her support and guidance and loyalty and friendship. And it was just important to me as a man that she hear that publicly. That it's not something I just tell her privately. I wanted the world to know that, how grateful I am for the things that she did to keep our family together and on the straight and narrow and to never waver in her support for me. And I'm glad that I got the opportunity to do that. And I'm even happier that she got to hear it.
And you got to thank Boomer and the rest of the guys from the morning show.
Oh,
I know Boomer checked
Boomer.
In. I don't want to harp on Boomer, but you know, I think it's important that people understand that, you know, you guys went through your rough patch, obviously.
Yeah.
And you seem to be at least on the other side of the tunnel in regards to that. But where do you stand with the rest of the crew?
We're great. I just actually left Boomer's office, so we got to talk. I hadn't physically seen Boom in a couple of years, obviously. Like I said, you know, we went through a dark period, but all because of my actions. He never wavered in his support for me publicly, and you know, privately, we got through the nonsense. He deserved an apology. And, you know, for a while, I didn't want to apologize. And once I did, and again, this is all about me taking ownership of my mistakes. And once I was able to process the mistakes I made and how those mistakes and decisions negatively impacted other people, everything changed for the better. And same with the other guys. You know, I didn't take ownership at the beginning of putting their careers at risk. I clearly do now and recognize what I put them through. And, you know, listen, Al Dukes came to visit me in prison. Jerry Recco came to my home. I talked with Eddie. I've been very, very fortunate that those guys have remained very supportive of me personally, have never wavered in their belief in me as a performer. And it's great to be in the same building as those guys. You know, it's awesome.
It's going to be weird. You know, you cross paths, if you will, with Evan for the 10 years because you were wrapping up the morning show. He and Joe were getting ready for the middays at the time. And now you're going to be on basically opposite clocks of the morning show. So you probably won't see them as often, except for, as you mentioned last week, the softball games once they start back up. Did you and Boomer work that out yet, by the way, as far as the shortstop and the batting order?
We have. That has not been officially worked out yet. I know there's the weeknight games I won't be able to play in because I'll be on the radio. But we'll figure it out. You know, he likes to be the captain, and I'm okay with him wearing the C on his chest. But he knows full well that if we want to win games where I need to be defensively, because I'm not sitting on a bench, I can tell you that.
Alrighty. I want to ask a serious question, if you don't mind. You know, some guys are, you know, you're away in air quotes for 3 years and you're still pretty locked into what's going on. But, you know, most of your time while you were not in prison was prepping for a trial and going through a trial. That's a lot of time consumption. And I'm wondering through all of that and the incarceration until you were let out in June, how much were you able to lock in on the New York sports scene? I mean, it couldn't possibly have been as much as usual, but to what extent were you able to keep up with what was going on?
Well, I mean, my focus was certainly different, but I got the New York newspapers every day of the week, and late at night I was able to hear WFAN, you know, late at night and overnight. So I was able to stay up to date. I didn't miss any significant story that took place. My focus on those stories was just different, because it wasn't the most important thing in the world to me like it was when I was doing the show. But I was fully aware of everything taking place and read the New York newspapers front to back every day of the week. So I know what took place when I was away. I'm aware of, you know, wins and losses and hirings and firings. And I think that ultimately being able to do that while I was away, you know, should serve me well going forward.
But for a guy who talks about these things for a living, how did you deal with your own reactions to these things when you didn't have that venue at your disposal?
Yeah, well, that took a lot of getting used to, because something would happen and I'd have a quick opinion on it and I couldn't share it with anybody. So you wind up kind of doing a talk show inside your own head. But it never changed the fact that I did react to things. I did have opinions on things. I just didn't have an audience to share those opinions with. But the fact that I was able to read the newspapers every day, had access to television, and like I said, heard the radio at night, I was able to at least dream of the participation and the back and forth and how I would handle certain stories, but I did it alone. And that's a whole different type of exercise.
What did it mean to you, Craig, when the powers that be started to reach out, when the Chris Oliveros, the Mark Chernoffs, started to reach out to you once you were out in June and get the ball rolling on your return?
Well, it gave me hope. It told me that there was a future. You know, when you, none of that's guaranteed. Having done what I did and gone through what I went through. So the fact that there was the possibility, it was like a little light at the end of the tunnel. And I grabbed onto it and held it for everything it was worth and wanted to make sure I did everything right so that I would at least have the opportunity when the appropriate time presented itself to see that to fruition. But the mere fact that it was a possibility when I got out, it was a conversation they're willing to have at some point in the future, was like oxygen to breathe and meant very, very much to me.
Well, the new show is Carton and Roberts, 2 to 7 on our sister station, WFAN. It kicks off on Monday afternoon. Craig, I know you had a little bit of a mention or a message to the listeners, to the fans, as you were wrapping things up on Friday. And I'm wondering if you might repeat that about the ills of gambling and the other decisions that led you through all of this.
Well, listen, I'm a compulsive gambler. So there was a time, and for a lot of people can gamble, whether it's scratch-offs or sports gambling or keno, or for me it was blackjack. And many, many people can do it responsibly and recreationally. I thought I could, and then there came a point in my life where I crossed over some imaginary line and became totally irresponsible with it, and it took over my life, where every decision I made was centered around my desire and want to play blackjack, and that became a real sickness and an out-of-control addiction for me, where decisions I was now making weren't about right and wrong and good and bad. It was about how does this impact my need and desire to play blackjack. And it grew very, very quickly and beyond my control, where I know that now I can't gamble responsibly. I can't. Many people can. But there's also thousands of people out there now that are going to be exposed to legalized gambling who have no idea that they might be predisposed to having a problem or might find themselves one day going down, that same path that I did. So my hope is that by sharing my story without it being gratuitous and walking people through the life that I lived, that they'll at least listen to it and consider it. Maybe there's a friend they have, maybe there's a loved one, maybe it's when they look in the mirror that they start feeling the things that I felt and are acting in an irresponsible, irrational manner. And if I can get people to consider that, then I'll feel really blessed that my story didn't go, without ears and I'm able to help somebody else. And I think some of the ideas and the partnerships that we'll create in the months and years to come, will be a big part of my life going forward, in that I'll always share my story, not because I like talking about it, because I don't, but in sharing my story, if I can be a beacon of light for someone who's yet to go all the way down the road that I went and maybe save them and their families from the heartache involved, then I'll feel like I really did something good with my life.
Last thing, as we wrap up with Craig Carton, I'm thinking of Monday afternoon, Moose and Maggie wrapping up right before 2 o'clock, Rich Ackerman doing his update, the music plays, we don't know what the theme song will be like.
I know the theme song.
You do, but I don't want to ruin it for everybody else. Do you want to tell us?
I'm going to tell you this. I'm not going to tell you, but I don't think anybody will be able to guess the theme song on the first day. Without cheating, like you can't use Shazam. When you hear it, I will guarantee that it's like, wow, that's a really cool intro. Who's it by?
Oh, so it's that obscure?
Well, now I'm not saying it's obscure. I'm saying I guarantee you're going to have a tough time placing it.
Okay. All right, I'll take you up on that challenge. How about that?
So when that song starts playing, your question is
what? My question is, as Ackerman's wrapping up his update and that song starts playing, what is going to be going through your mind?
How fortunate and blessed that I am that I'm getting this second opportunity at life, at my chosen profession, at what I love to do, and that I should never, ever, ever mess it up, because I don't get a third chance, that's for sure.
Well, listen, I wish you all the luck. In your personal life, certainly in your professional life, the Carton and Roberts Show begins Monday, November the 9th, 2 to 7. on our sister station, WFAN. Craig Carton, thanks for the time today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Be well.
That is Craig Carton. I'm Mark Arnay, and you're On the Mark.